What a joy it is to be able to come and share with you the goodness of God and how His Word has helped us in so many ways. And I am honored that I am able to bring a message to the people who cannot attend church on a regular basis, and we know it as the online service. So we're grateful that you tuned in, and just pray as we continue on our series of understanding Jesus as our very, very best friend. And this week I want to tell you about how trustworthy your friend Jesus is. On March the 6th, 1927, Bertrand Russell stood on a podium at Battersea Town Hall and delivered one of his most famous talks. His subject was, Why I Am Not a Christian. Now, that's an interesting title, isn't it? Well, he was a famous philosopher, and he said he could not believe in God because if everything must have a cause, then God must have a cause. He speculated that it was the universe that was eternal, not God. Now, there's no reason to suppose that the world had a beginning at all, he said. And now no one would agree with him now because of modern technology. We know the universe and the earth has a definite point of beginning. But in the years since Russell's lecture, scientific theory has accepted the fact that the universe is not eternal. In fact, if it had a definite point of origin, theists also recognize God as an uncaused first cause. Now, Russell went on to say, though, historically it's quite doubtful whether Christ ever existed at all, and if he did, we don't know anything about him. Well, I don't think any reasonable historian would say that now. And I want to suggest that the evidence for the existence of God and the evidence for Christ is strong enough to justify trusting Him and putting our faith in Him. But the real problem comes with something within us. Simply doesn't naturally want us to do that. I don't know what it is. I guess it's the free will. But I was reading in the book of Numbers the other day. In fact, we're using it for the Old Testament reading this week. And I want to pass along some of the words that was in there. Numbers chapter 14, verses 11 and 12. How long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the signs I have performed among them? Talking about God, I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them. Now, the Israelites had a lot of evidence of God and His goodness, yet they refused to believe Him. Not all of them, fortunately, but some of them that was traveling in the wilderness, miracles just didn't cause them to believe. They saw the plagues on the Egyptians. They passed through the parted water when the Red Sea was parted. They ate manna and drank water from a rock. They even saw the presence of the Lord by the means of a visible pillar of fire and cloud that guided them. Yet, they were continually saying, I don't think He'll take care of us. I just don't think we can trust Him. Well, our modern society is not much better when you think about it. And despite of all of God's evidence for us and all the goodness and all the grace and His reassuring word, we fret and we doubt and we underestimate His power and protection, don't we? It seems to be human nature. Times have changed, but human nature has never changed. But let's look at the thing in the Gospel of John, especially in chapter 6, where Jesus taught us that He was the bread of life. Then anyone who came to Him would never be hungry, and whoever trusted in Him would never be thirsty. In John chapter 6, verse 36, Jesus said, But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. Well, that tension exists in all of us. We sit in church and say, Oh, I believe in the Lord. Yes, I believe. Then we go home and try to sleep, and tossing and turning with anxiety and worry and wondering if God can really solve our problems. But let's turn the page to John's Gospel in chapter 7. Jesus traveled to Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles, and he stood up among the people, and he said very loudly in verse 37 and 38 of chapter 7, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." I like that. That's just how personal God is. You see, you don't need a pastor, although I'm glad to be your pastor. You don't need a priest or a bishop. You can come directly to him and can say, "Lord, I'm thirsty. I believe you are the water of life." And suddenly, as if a river were flowing into your innermost being, faith becomes a great game changer. The ability to trust our friend. It's essential to have a victorious Christian experience. A few chapters later, two sisters, you remember the story of Martha and Mary, or Mary and Martha, they sent for Jesus because their brother had fallen sick. They were beyond grief when Lazarus died before Jesus arrived, because Jesus was on his way to see him, but Lazarus died before he got there, and the window of opportunity had closed. Do you have any windows of opportunity that has closed in your life? You know, maybe dreams that died or hopes that faded? Well, Jesus showed up a half a week later in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. He said, "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in him will never die. Do you believe this, Martha?" We see her response in verse 27. She said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into this world." So what happened next was a miracle. Jesus followed Martha to her home, and when he saw Lazarus had died in verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible says he wept. But he didn't stop there. He went to Lazarus' tomb, and with a loud voice and a simple command, "Lazarus, come out!" And his friend came back to life. Jesus does the same kind of things with us. When we find ourselves in impossible situations, in overwhelming situations, he doesn't leave us there. No, he works in ways beyond what we can imagine, leading us into another step closer to him. Now, we have good evidence for the existence of God, the historical reality, and the reliability of Scripture. Faith is not believing despite evidence, but because of it. But it takes more than evidence for you to believe in the Lord and trust your friend. It takes willingness. There's mystery to Christ, but we don't have to understand infinity to trust him. You don't have to know how a cell phone works, or how your car engine starts, and how there's a fire in the fireplace. But you talk on the phone, and you drive a car, and you, especially this time of year, you enjoy the warm fire from the fireplace. Well, it's the same thing with our faith. We don't need to know everything about God to follow him. We just know that we need to choose to trust and believe. Trust and obey, for there's no other way with Christ Jesus. Trust and obey. So let's look what John was saying in chapter 12, verses 44 through 46. He said, "Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me, the one who looks at me, and seeing the one who sent me. I have come into this world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should ever stay in darkness." There it is, the essence of our faith, believing in Jesus. Make him your friend. Develop that friendship. Learn to trust him. Because the more you walk with him and the more you let him into your circumstances and pay attention to what he tells us and counsel, and the more your faith and friendship is strengthened, our faith grows as we rely on his faithfulness. Can you say amen? So, instead of scrutinizing God or approaching faith with skepticism, think about this. Thank Him that He is beyond your ability to understand. Praise Him for His infinite qualities. Stand amazed in His presence. I stand amazed in the presence of the Nazarene. But, you know, I love the buts and the if, but whatever you do, trust Him with your soul, with your life, and with all of your concerns, because He is trustworthy and faithful. Harvard researcher by the name of Robert Wallinger and Mark Schultz wrote about the difference it makes when soldiers in combat fight side by side with friends who they trust. They go on to say that we found those men who had a more positive friendship with their fellow servicemen who served in combat units, that they were more cohesive and connected, and they were less likely to experience the symptoms of PTSD after the war. Their friendships, in other words, were like a kind of a protective armor. So having a good and trusted friend buffered these men during some of the most difficult times and events in their lives. You see, the world is a spiritual combat zone. And I advise all of us to trust your friend in every battle, your friend being Jesus. Jesus alone is the only truly unfailing, trustworthy friend that you'll ever have. And you can depend upon Him. For He truly is the bread of life. This being the first Sunday of the month is when we celebrate that meal that Jesus prepared for us. We call it Holy Communion, Eucharist, the Last Supper, because He reminds us about feeding our spirit and also feeding our physical being by the breaking of the bread. You know, when the disciples were on the road to Emmaus in verse 24, they talked about how they just walked and talked with Him, and they were so glad to know that this fellow knew about what was going on and all that, but they didn't understand why He had so many questions for them. And then at the end of the journey, they stopped and said, "Hey, why don't you come and have supper with us?" And He did. Jesus did. And when the breaking of the bread, their eyes were opened and they recognized Him. That's what Holy Communion is all about. A time to say, "Thank you, Lord, for giving us the gift of eternal life and the many other things that we have." So it's a wonderful thing to be able to depend on your friend. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. Your friend Jesus. The most dependable friend you will ever have. Well, I hope and pray you have a good day, and looking forward to seeing you in person sometime in church. But in the meantime, thank you for tuning in. God loves you, and so do we.